Hello, this is Richard Carafale from Agility, and welcome to PR Profiles, a podcast and video series where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry. And we think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is. And we wanted to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. You may remember today's guest from our 2022 Crisis Comms Mastery Virtual Summit. Amy Forsyth began her career in 1993 as a U.S. Marine combat correspondent and spent 8 years on active duty before transitioning to a successful career in the media industry. She's won several awards for her reporting while deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, including a PRSA Bronze Anvil and Silver Anvil in 2009. And Amy currently serves as Public Affairs Officer in the U.S. Navy Reserve. And thank you for joining us today, Amy. How are you?
Hi, thank you. It's so great to be with you today, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We are thrilled. So let's just jump right into these questions. Now, in a previous conversation with us, you said it's essential to protect the legacy and the brand of the U.S. Navy, of course, and that as part of that, the Navy considers sailors to be some of its best spokespeople. So how are sailors empowered or encouraged to do that? And also, what role do influencers play in protecting and amplifying the brand?
Well, you know, we in the Navy, in the military, have a training pipeline for public affairs and military journalists, and we train to an industry standard. And our role is to highlight and showcase those sailors out there doing the work on the ships. And, you know, just such a tough job, but we do feel that they make the best spokespeople, because they get to highlight the work that they do coming from their own voice and sharing those stories, about why they joined and what keeps them in and the patriotism and the pride that they get from serving and, working with literally thousands of military members throughout my career and doing hundreds of interviews and working with media to match them with the right story, with the right time has just been a career highlight for me. I just couldn't have asked for a better way to really serve my country and highlight those service members who can speak from their heart and speak about their own experiences.
That is fantastic. And who better to hear it from? Certainly. But that is great. That's a great and inspiring story. And thank you for your service. So that's wonderful. Now, let me ask you on a similar note. You mentioned that PR influences recruiting and HR. Now this relates back to the legacy of the Navy, but it's also about making sure that people are proud to serve and that veterans succeed after service. Now, can you tell us more about PR's impact on the life cycle of recruiting and retaining talent and how it aligns with HR?
Well, you definitely, when we plant the seeds of inspiration throughout the country about service, we're really targeting those teenagers and, you know, what are they looking at? What are they listening to? They're making their decisions about what path is right for them, whether you go to college or serve. And so veterans, of course, are the best spokespeople because they can tell their story about service. But while we're in and we're still serving, outreach and engagement and reaching those teenagers where they are, and of course, reaching what we call the original influencers, and those are the school coaches, high school principals, those people that have a direct impact on that, you know, high school, college age, young adult out there, and reaching them in order to tell the story about service. And so while we've noticed some downtrends for recruiting, we're trying to tap in and better partner with our human resources and our recruiting teams to ask, what content do you need from us? How can we help you tell the story and amplify and showcase those stories that someone might connect with? If you're a high school senior right now and you might connect with me or someone else and explore those career opportunities. So really PR, public affairs, as we call it in the military, and HR or recruiting go hand in hand, because the recruiters can't recruit well or attract top talent if we're not telling those stories of pride, patriotism, and service to your country. And so we're really, you know, it's a left hand and a right hand. And so working together and use, you mentioned those influencers, and the Navy and the military has a lot of these really outstanding content creators, people who are proud to serve, and they are sharing their stories every day from all ranks, from the junior people to the senior leaders in our military. And kind of a sneak peek or a pull the curtain back about their daily life and about the things that they are passionate about. And so I love the idea of using influencers. People really latch on to that, and then they can inspire the next generation to serve their country.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And I totally agree with the point you made about PR and HR being so closely aligned. It's certainly the case for the Navy and the other armed forces, but also for any brand or business out there. Those two need to work hand in hand, especially when it comes to internal communications and recruiting and hiring. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Now, during your career, you've spent a lot of time overseas partnering with local news media to help coach and mentor them as they set up their media organizations to reflect journalist standards and ethics. Now, can you tell us more about that experience?
Well, you know, I served 5 combat tours in all in Iraq and Afghanistan, and three times in Afghanistan. And we worked closely with that, with their media, and went to their TV stations, and they really looked to us for guidance on how to do it, practices, and sort of a society of journalists, and, you know, in a war-torn countries and with not many resources. Those were really the highlights of my career, to be able to partner with them, talk about journalism, offer up opportunities to cover stories that maybe the international press and other regional press, you know, in a region of countries have more resources and more experience. And so being able to carve out and dedicate time for some mentoring and coaching with the media in Iraq and Afghanistan when I was there during my tours throughout 20 years. But surprisingly, through the years, I noticed so much progress, especially in Afghanistan, more resources, more money. And they had, you know, full capability TV stations with TV shows, live newscasts. And so the progress to watch that from go from literally nothing, from zero in 2002, 2003, just after, you know, the fall with Taliban, all the way up to 2018, 19, 20, their media capabilities expanded so much. And so I was just really proud to be a part of a small part of that, and learn from them as well as to what they need and what countries need when they're looking to a model for media coverage. But I've traveled in other places, been on assignment in places like Sri Lanka, Poland, Palau, Malaysia, and worked with different media from all these different countries. And, you know, the constant theme and the thread there is that journalism, local journalists all want the same thing. They want to cover the stories. They want access, equal access to the stories. They're hardworking, they're dedicated, and they are committed to telling our story, at least, you know, participation in partnered events and partnering with the local military in whatever country you may be in. And so those are just some great learning experiences, that the U.S. is not the only country with media, right? So they have their same deadlines, standards, topics that they want to cover, and they know how to prioritize it.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Really, what an interesting opportunity to get to participate in an experience like that. To not only watch that unfold at, you know, in real time as it's happening, to also kind of be a part of it and help to shape it. Really interesting, Amy. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Now, you also work with international partners to tell the Navy story around the world. Now, what are some of the differences you've noted between American media and international media, like what you were just discussing? And what's important to remember when you're working with those news organizations?
Well, you know, I can probably cite a few times where I was working with a partnered nation, say, let's say in Poland. I was there in 2019, and I worked with my Polish counterparts, the Polish Army Public Affairs rep, and I said, well, we want to cover this, this, and this. And then he took a pause and said, well, our media wants to cover this, this, and this. And so working with international partners and counterparts is that they also have priorities and they know how to shape and mold their stories to fit the whatever the media is going to want to cover. So in our eyes, we may want one thing, but working with international partners, they of course know and have the pulse on the media there. And so I've been blessed to work with counterparts from places like Romania and in Singapore and, you know, just different places around the world that know best, right? The locals know best about how they want to cover the story. So meeting in the middle of what they want. And just like in the US military, every nation has its own communications team. And, you know, they're a little bit modeled maybe slightly differently, but we all have the same goal in mind, and that's to showcase our own military capabilities and our partnerships and cooperation to advance, you know, the goals and the mission of why we're doing partnered training. And that's to work on communication techniques and understand each other's culture. So when we do respond to, say, a humanitarian crisis or, you know, a contingency of any kind, we're already speaking the same language and we know how to better work together, interoperability, and even just understanding the local media there and how to reach them, even phone numbers or emails or websites, or understand timelines and different things. And so that's been very valuable.
Well, that is some terrific insight, rare and precious insight from you. Thank you, Amy, for sharing that. That's fantastic. Now helping newcomers, you know, enter and adjust, adapt to the PR industry is a profession, is a passion of yours. And you've even put together a 12 to 18 month cycle to help up and coming PR pros get grounded and then escalate their careers. That is fantastic. Now, can you walk us through that cycle and some of the resources you recommend?
Well, as I mentioned, so all military public affairs communicators go through a training pipeline that begins at the Defense Information School that's located at Fort Meade, Maryland. Now, training courses can last anywhere from a couple of weeks to 3, 4, maybe even 6 months. So it just depending on your specialty. But this is top-notch, second to none journalism training. Real world experiential training that you can only get really at this, what they call the schoolhouse. And it's been there for many years and it has a long legacy and has produced many top journalists and, you know, celebrities that have gone on to serve and work in the media industry. And so we have quite a long legacy there. DINFOS is what they call it for short. I've been there for many times. I was even an instructor there on two occasions. And so it's a passion of mine to continue even training after once people leave DINFOS and go on to their duty stations, but getting that experience, say with an actual operational deployment, is the best training you can ever get. So we always recommend, and there's a cycle for once you finish the schoolhouse, you go on to a deployment cycle. And then the continuing ongoing learning is ongoing for the rest of your career, really. And that's networking, that's attending annual conferences and seminars, even in the private industry, say through PRSA or Reagan or, you know, Agility. There's so many great resources out there. And so we always do touch points with people that are coming in or and asking them, are they, what are they learning? What are they, what courses are they taking to improve their skills? And so throughout the years, I've used a combination of DINFOS school training plus attending conferences and then even brushing up on my video editing skills through Adobe, or, you know, there's always technology that's changing. And so we always recommend that people look at their first 12 to 18 months and get that pipeline training. And then for a career for years on end, looking at scheduling, attending conferences, and then cross-pollinating in different areas, whether you're working in with media engagement, community relations, actual tactical photography, videography. Those are the things that you kind of have to plot out your career and prioritize these on your calendar.
Yeah, wow, that's a what a great idea and a great cycle you've put together. It seems like we could all have used something like that, you know, at some point when we were getting started. Terrific. Okay, well, that's wonderful, Amy. Thank you for sharing that. And finally, how can people connect with you?
Well, I'd love to connect with anyone out there. On LinkedIn is my go-to platform, but I'm on Instagram and Twitter, of course. So Amy Forsythe. And, you know, I just wrote a book. It's kind of outside my norm of my regular job, but I wrote a book called Heroes Live Here. And it was my first attempt at writing a book. And I've just been so overwhelmed with the response. And people can connect with me through the website, heroesliveheare.com. And the book showcases and features memorial sites that are on Camp Pendleton. It's a Marine Corps base in San Diego County, where I was stationed for many years. And a bulk of the combat operations from Iraq and Afghanistan were for Marines from Camp Pendleton. And over the 20 years, there's been a collection of beautiful tributes and showcasing these memorials in honor of our fallen. And so I figured that was a great place to jump into the book publishing arena by publishing that book. So people can go to the website and connect with me there, heroesliveheare.com. So thank you so much for sharing and letting me share that story.
No, absolutely, Amy. That is really great. And congratulations on the launch of the book. You certainly know how to wear many hats. Very impressed. So thank you. All right. Now that's all the time we have, everybody. And again, we have been chatting with Amy Forsythe, Public Affairs Officer in the U.S. Navy Reserve. And thanks again, Amy, for your time.
Great to be with you today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles brought to you by Agility. You can visit our website to learn more about our top-rated media relations and PR measurement tools and services. Our PR platform has everything you need to successfully carry out your next campaign, from database and distribution to monitoring and measurement. Book a demo with our team today at agilitypr.com to see how Agility can help streamline your PR workflow. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. I'm Richard Carafell with Agility, and we will see you again on the next episode.